Welcome to Western Veterinary Perspectives. Joining us this time around is Dr. Joyce van Donkerskut, a beef veterinarian and epidemiologist, who will provide some updates on some recent recommendations regarding cow-calf vaccination protocols for the beef sector. She'll also share some helpful resources developed by a research team of cattle experts to help support the valid veterinary client-patient relationship through vaccination education. Thanks for joining me, Dr. van Donkerskut.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about this project that you and your colleagues have been so diligently working away at. What was the need out there that you're trying to address?
The Beef Cattle Research Council put a call out for extension projects, and one of them was to increase vaccination in Canadian beef herds. I guess that need is that there was a perception that there are a lot of producers that are not doing routine vaccinations of their cows or bulls or pre-weaned calves. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the industry to reduce antimicrobial use. And one way we can do that is with preventative vaccinations to reduce the risk of infectious diseases where we have good vaccines for. So that was the call. We put in a submission of a proposal and it was accepted. And so then now we're working on this project to try to create deliverables both for producers and veterinarians that will encourage appropriate or strategic vaccination in cow herds in Western Canada.
As part of this work, then, you and your colleagues surveyed a number of beef producers, as well as beef veterinary practitioners in Western Canada. What did you hear back from producers as to their frustrations around vaccinating their herds?
We surveyed, yes, in Western Canada through various cattle associations. We got feedback from 155 beef producers in Western Canada. And most of the producers that didn't vaccinate, the reasons that they didn't vaccinate was that they did not believe their herd was at risk of the disease. That would have been the number one reason. Some said there was a lack of an economic incentive to vaccinate. Others simply had some logistical issues. They either did not have facilities to vaccinate their cattle or they didn't have help to vaccinate their cattle. Some said, you know, the veterinarian would recommend certain times for them to vaccinate, like, for example, for reproductive vaccines, you know, we want to vaccinate before breeding, but they just said they didn't round the cattle up at that time of the year to vaccinate. Then we had a few that just said they didn't have enough time, they're too busy. A couple, as we hear as practitioners sometimes, the vaccines cost too much or they don't think they work. Some were a little worried about the negative effects of vaccines. And then there was a few that said someone told them not to vaccinate. You know, and I don't know if some of that has come, you know, since we've had the pandemic here in the human side with COVID, where there, you know, there's a bit of that anti-vaccinate mentality. I'm not sure. But the number one reason was they didn't believe they had the herd was at risk of that disease.
That underlines for me at least some of the importance of trying to communicate that disease surveillance information to producers.
Yes, I think that's very important. And, you know, I had Dr. Radisitz was my old professor. He always used to say, well, if you don't look, you don't find, right? And so, you know, one of the things producers did ask us is to create tools for them on how to diagnose different diseases, some of the common diseases. So, you know, it may be, you know, a combination of lack of knowledge of what some of the diseases can do, or, you know, maybe difficulties in actually diagnosing the disease.
Were any of the survey findings particularly surprising to you?
Yes. Like, you know, of the producers that we surveyed, I mean, I'm not sure it's necessarily a representative survey because 85% of them said they retained ownership of their cattle. And, you know, of those that did vaccinate, you know, most of them were vaccinating for IBR and BVD and BRSV, like the four viral vaccines. I guess the most surprising factor was that very few, probably, you know, 56% were only vaccinating for clostridial diseases. And even more surprising, when we surveyed the veterinarians, very few veterinarians were recommending vaccination against clostridial diseases. And, you know, that was of concern to our expert committee that people were not vaccinating for clostridials, and some veterinarians were also not recommending it. Those diseases are endemic. Yeah, and we consider clostridials kind of a core vaccine. And, you know, historically, that used to be if, you know, cow-calf producers were going to give any vaccines to their calves, for example, at spring processing, it would have been a clostridial. So that result was very surprising and also concerning.
And how about from the veterinarians you surveyed? What issues have they been dealing with regarding cow-calf vaccination?
Well, I guess surprising was that one of the things they mentioned is that only 16% of the vets said their clients always followed their vaccination recommendations. So, you know, that was surprising, you know, why, you know, veterinarians are recommending vaccinations, you know, why is there such a disjoint between what the vet recommends versus what the producer does? And, I mean, the producers are telling us, you know, they either don't think there's a disease risk, you know, or they just don't have facilities or labor to vaccinate, or there's an economic incentive to risk. So I think that was the biggest thing. You know, veterinarians were looking for more information on vaccines, you know, vaccine efficacy. They were wanting to see more scientific publications to provide them more information on just how good some of these vaccines are. Unfortunately, that's not one of the objectives of our project, to do, you know, a meta-analysis review of vaccine efficacy. Some of those have been done, and so we encourage veterinarians to you know, stay up to date on that stuff. But I think, yeah, what vets recommend and what producers do, there seems to be quite a massive disjoint there.
I know that vaccination of beef, cows, and calves has, I feel like it's always been a client education hurdle, at least ever since my days in veterinary school, it's been a point of discussion. Why is this such a persistent issue, do you think?
Well, producers, you know how it is with disease, you know, disease is unpredictable, right? And so if those that are not vaccinating are telling us they don't think their herd's at risk, they, you know, they may have been lucky for many years and, you know, not had any major disease problems. But, you know, vaccines we always consider like an insurance policy, right? And we're not saying that you should use every vaccine on the market. That's not what we're saying at all. But there are some core vaccines that the American Association of Bovine Practitioners recommends, which we have also recommended, that we believe all Western Canadian herds should use. Because when you have some of the diseases, whether it's IBR or BVD, you know, the losses are enormous if you have an outbreak, right? And then some of these losses are even subtle, like with if you have a bunch of persistently infected born calves with BVD, you know, some of those losses, they'll show up at the feedlot side. So the rancher might not actually know he's taking a hit on that disease unless he has like an abortion outbreak or something. But if he's having all these persistently infected calves being born, some of those will die on summer pasture, but it's going to be the feedlot who is going to have the biggest problems with those kind of cattle because it caused a lot of issues in our feed yards. Yeah, so part of it is, you know, how do we educate producers? I think we have to educate them about these diseases, what the potential of having this disease can cause in your herd. And so we are building some fact sheets or infographics on the diseases for the core vaccine that we will have available as extension tools for veterinarians to give their producers to help educate them about these diseases. And then WeCan is also going to do some webinars on kind of what happens, you know, outbreaks that have been observed. And, you know, what is the potential wrecks you can run into if you don't vaccinate? You know, we always say, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's what a vaccine is.
From the veterinarian's perspective, it can be challenging to keep up to date with the current vaccination recommendations. I know the technical veterinarians do their best to keep us informed regarding new preventative care options, but what are some ways that vets can adapt to this ever-changing vaccination landscape so we can ensure the best care for our patients?
Well, I think it comes to continuing education, you know, because, you know, some of us are cynical. I mean, the technical veterinarians, you know, they're doing their job, but they're also trying to promote a particular vaccine, right? So those of us, again, trained by Dr. Attestitz, we're quite critical thinkers. So, you know, I encourage veterinarians to, you know, stay up to date by going to veterinary conventions, you know, attending presentations from researchers, professors on what's the latest on these vaccines. Ideally, controlled field trials are the best evidence we have to determine whether a vaccine works in the real world. So if there's you know, scientific reviews like meta-analysis, Dr. Annette O'Connor's done some of those and Dr. Cheryl Waldner as well. They've done some in collaboration. So I encourage veterinarians to stay up to date with the scientific literature on vaccine efficacy. And then, you know, when they attend veterinary conferences, let's hope we have some presentations on these vaccines. But part of the difficulty is if the vaccines have been around a long time, there usually is not money to do controlled field trials. And so then it becomes difficult unless you actually do these trials yourself in your own operations. And on the cow-calf side, that is much harder to do than on the feedlot side. When I was in feedlot practice, I did a lot of vaccine trials, in-house research with pharmaceutical companies to evaluate the efficacy of their vaccines and different kinds of vaccines and different vaccination protocols. But on the cow-calf side, you know, that would be hard for a practitioner to do. This is where you would need professors like Dr. Claire Weingard or Dr. Cheryl Waldner to do these kind of trials But again, you know, where do you find the money to do these trials? Because these are products that existed for a long time. And the pharmaceutical companies generally are not going to invest money in those kind of trials because they're very expensive and hard to do. So it's not an easy solution.
You've mentioned a few times that your group has developed a number of information products for veterinarians. Could you tell us a little bit more about these and where they can be found?
The first thing we've developed, and we're still in the process of developing them, is some vaccine handling videos, some proper vaccination handling. Because sometimes producers may think a vaccine doesn't work, and that's simply because we haven't handled the vaccine properly. And sometimes we have disease outbreaks and the cattle were vaccinated. So then right away as well, the vaccine's useless. It doesn't work, right? And that can go back to how we handle these vaccines. So we did create a series of six videos. They're on YouTube, but it's a private site. But it talks about how to administer vaccines properly, talks about vaccination protocols and records, about cleaning your vaccine equipment, types of vaccines and how to properly mix them. Talks about vaccine transport and storage and vaccine disposal. So that is available, currently available. The other thing we're working on that's not currently available is we are working on these disease infographics that summarize for producers, you know, for example, on IVR, right? What causes it? What are the clinical signs of that disease? You know, how do you treat it? How do you control or prevent it? And then, you know, some recommendations on vaccinations. So we have that for what we call are the core vaccines that we believe all cow herds in Western Canada should be using. So that would be IBR, BVD, BRSV, and then some of the clostridials. So we will have these infographic sheets available, and those will get posted on the Beef Cattle Research Council's website at that time. We've done some presentations, you know, with Saskatchewan Agriculture. We've done some presentations, and I've done some at Olds College for a producer meeting. We will also, Dr. Barr Wilhelm will have some webinars, as we said, coming in the new year on vaccines, kind of vaccine, you know, wrecks of disease. And then how can we use vaccines to prevent those wrecks of disease? We are creating some decision tools to help for the core vaccines, you know, decide when is the best time to use them in your herd. And then what we call our risk-based vaccines, which doesn't necessarily mean you need to use them. It depends on the disease risk in your herd. We will also have some decision trees to help producers and their veterinarians work through those to see whether or not that vaccine is worth using in that particular beef operation. Because vaccination protocols should be made specific to each beef herd based on the disease risks of that herd, as well as the client's, level of risk they're willing to take and the potential cost benefit of using that vaccine in that particular beef herd. So most of those tools will be available on the Beef Cattle Research Council website once they're all completed, or they'll be available on the WECAN website.
Yes, those decision tools sound quite interesting as well, as far as to help a veterinarian and a producer work to make a really specific vaccination plan. And I think the fact that you're using some dollars and cents components in that too makes a lot of logical sense, so to speak.
Yeah, and we'll have two articles in the Canadian Cattlemen's Magazine coming up in the spring that I have written. One will be on proper vaccine handling, and then one will be about core and risk-based vaccines. So that'll be coming up for veterinarians. Claire has written an article that'll go into WCABP newsletter, the upcoming one, on the core and risk-based vaccines. And then we're also developing for veterinarians to hand out to the producers a herd questionnaire, so that the producer can quickly fill that in and provide it back to the veterinarian. So the veterinarian has some up-to-date information on that operation, you know, things like, you know, how many cows, bulls, and, you know, pre-weaned calves have, you know, what are the diseases you're most concerned about, you know, what vaccines did you use last year? Part of this to try to facilitate that discussion between the producer and veterinarian and make efficient use of everyone's time, because both veterinarians and producers are very busy. And so we want to try to facilitate that valid VCPR between the producer and veterinarian when it comes to developing these vaccine-specific protocols. So that's another deliverable we will be doing.
Yeah, that's an important point, because I think often the main interaction that a vet might have with the beef producer and their herd might be just the time when the client drops by the clinic to purchase vaccines. And that can mean it's a pretty limited veterinary client-patient relationship. How do you hope these resources can help vets to improve this relationship between their clinic and themselves and the producer?
Yeah, so what we're hoping, for example, with these disease information sheets, these infographics, is that, you know, when a producer pops by the clinic, the veterinarian may not be there. It might be a registered vet tech who will be dispensing the products, right, the vaccines. So then the registered vet tech could hand out, you know, with the vaccines, these disease infographic sheets, right? Sort of like when you go to the human pharmacy, you know, you get your little piece of information that's more about how to use the pharmaceutical. But here, those could be provided. You know, quite a few veterinarians have websites, their own websites, so they could post this information, as well as they could put the link on proper vaccine handling on their website, as well as, you know, once we get this herd questionnaire up, they could put those up in the articles. So, you know, all these tools, veterinarians could also put them on their own websites for their producer members to access easily. Because, you know, we have a veterinary shortage, and the rural vets we have, the cow-calf vets, are very limited in numbers, and they're also limited in time. So if we can make these tools readily available that producers and vets can access anytime, hopefully that'll make the time that they do have together better use of that time and get information out to producers that normally would not have access to that kind of information. So hopefully that'll improve the value of VCPR.
You mentioned as well that there's a number of articles in publications such as the journals that we can look forward to. Where can veterinarians access these resources? Like, where will they permanently be housed, I guess?
For our resources, most of them will be permanently housed at the Beef Cattle Research Council, but as well as some in the WECAN. So they have a website. Barb has a website there. I would go to those websites. We will also, you know, provide this information to some of the beef cattle associations and then the Western Canadian Association of Bovine Practitioners. So the WCABP has a website as well. You know, for veterinarians, you know, especially most of us who are beef cattle veterinarians, we're members of WCABP, you know, and then the Beef Cattle Research Council. I don't know how many vets use that, but they have more and more vet tools on the Beef Cattle Research Council website. So I do encourage veterinarians to become a member of that, and then you automatically get updates if you're on their list server. And they do have some tools there for veterinarians, other kind of tools as well that are useful. And then, you know, for scientific articles, like, you know, you can do a PubMed search and then search for whatever topic you want or authors you want. That usually will show you abstracts. Sometimes the problem with us as practitioners, we might be able to access the abstract on the internet through a PubMed search, but we actually can't get the full article. Some are available, you know, they're publicly available scientific articles. Others you have to be a member of the journal. So, you know, then I would suggest maybe reach out to your pharmaceutical veterinarian and see if they can access you those articles. Most of them have access, or a professor at the vet school possibly. You know, they will have access to those full articles if you're not a member of that journal and if it's not a public access article that you want.
Thanks so much, Dr. Van Donkersgood, for taking the time to chat with me today about these findings and about these new resources for beef veterinarians and for beef producers. Hopefully they'll be a great starting point for communications around vaccination protocols and help Western Canadian veterinarians to build upon the VCPRs they've already established. For more information on this work, we'll share some of these links that you've mentioned on the We Can Beef Network page, where you'll find all of these excellent learning materials.